I'm praying we could all release this pain, and I believe that...
Hello everyone, welcome to our Airwave YGK Musician in Residence special episode, recorded here at CFRC 101.9 FM, supported by the City of Kingston and the Kingston Arts Council. Today we are here with Abby Louise, the third artist to join us in the Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence program, a project offering opportunities for young and emerging musicians and bands to use CFRC's recording studios to develop, rehearse, and produce new original songs. Finally, they are given the opportunity to have a live-to-air performance to the CFRC Airwaves. Without further ado, here is Abby Louise. How are you doing today, Abby?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. Abby, why don't you tell us about yourself and your work as an artist?
My name's Abby Louise, and I'm an 18-year-old singer-songwriter, musician, poet, artist, and activist. And I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and I moved to Kingston about 3 years ago. So I've been in the art scene here for around 3 years now, and it's really beautiful. And my intention with music and all creative mediums is to build community and to help people feel less alone in the world.
What kind of musical inspiration did you get from Georgia, Atlanta? I'm curious, from your hometown.
Well, I've had a lot of influence from R&B artists, especially like Jhené Aiko and Lauryn Hill and Summer Walker. And not all of those artists are actually from Atlanta, but I'd say just the kind of music there that's popular is definitely R&B and hip hop. So I've had a lot of influence from that.
Yeah, I know a lot of, because I personally make a lot of hip hop stuff, and I follow a lot of the hip hop artists, so I know a lot of the recording gets done in Atlanta.
Yeah,
all that stuff.
It's a really cool city.
Oh yeah, definitely. I got to visit one day. How did you get started, and how did you keep learning, or keep up your learning rather?
So I think I've been singing for as long as I could, like since I was learning to speak. I started singing as well, and I always wrote songs as a kid, but I never really took it seriously until I was about 16, and I started playing guitar when I was 15. I bought my first guitar on my 15th birthday, and I've been playing since then. And I used to think that it would be impossible for me to sing and play guitar at the same time, but with some encouragement from other musicians, I started working on that, and now it's almost like I can't do them separately.
Yeah, it's definitely like a skill to learn for sure, mm-hmm. in terms of that. Because I've tried it in the past. I also can't sing at all. So when I try playing and singing, it's really hard for me. But I find a lot of playing instruments is just, it's a lot about, at a certain point, it's muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of comes naturally. And you're not really thinking so much about what you're playing. So I feel like, do you find that it's mostly muscle memory for you? Or like, and then you can focus more on your singing?
Yeah, so music for me is very intuitive, and it's only pretty recently that I've been learning more music theory and getting more like technical with things. But I started out just learning covers, like Summer Walker covers, and then writing my own songs kind of inspired by the chords and sounds that I learned from those covers. So I'm usually not like thinking about what I'm doing in terms of music theory when I'm writing songs. It's more just like how to translate my emotions and thoughts into sounds that people can receive.
Yeah, I'm the exact same way. Like when I'm creating music, like I'm not even thinking about a chord progression or mm-hmm. anything. Like I'm just thinking about this chord sounds good with this chord. Do I know why?
Nope.
Kinda. Not really, but it sounds good. And I think that's what matters. It's just, it's all about the sound and getting out the emotion, no matter how you do it, in my
absolutely.
Opinion. Mm-hmm. Did you have a mentor, or did you do it all by yourself along the way?
So I'd say I've been mostly independent, especially up until I moved to Kingston. But when I moved here, it really didn't take long for me to find community, especially through like poetry open mics and music open mics. I feel really grateful that I've met so many mentors that I've learned so much from. And people that come to mind are like Josh Lyon and Bruce Kaufman and Savannah Shea and Atiari and so many other people that I'm grateful to have learned from along my journey.
Tell us about your style and technique.
I'm still kind of figuring that out, but I guess you could describe me as a folk and R&B and neo-soul artist. My music is usually like pretty mellow and soft. I do a lot of like soft finger picking and a bit of strumming with my guitar music. And my vocals are definitely like R&B related. So a lot of riffs and runs. Yeah, I kind of take inspiration from all kinds of genres, even like metal music.
Yeah.
And definitely like blues and jazz as well.
Yeah, 100%. I love blues and jazz. Even metal, I mean, I got put on this band recently called Sleep Token. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Sounds familiar.
But they're really cool. I think they have like really good music and they mix a lot of hip hop elements in there too.
Cool.
There's literally one song where they like replace the entire drum kit with like a hip hop drum machine. And then they just like start doing some like metal riffs over it. It's pretty cool. And the thing that I like the most about them too is the way they present themselves on stage. Have you done a lot of performances in Kingston?
Yeah, I've done a few. I've played at the Broom Factory, both for the open mic and for opening at a concert. I've busked at the Memorial Center Farmers Market, and that was a really lovely experience. I've done a few climate action events, because I think music is a really powerful medium for conveying messages about the need for social change. Yeah, I've played at the Union Gallery, and I'll be playing there again in February for their annual fundraiser. Yeah, a few other places, but that's all that comes to mind right now.
Cool, cool. Tell us about the work you do to put into a performance or recording.
Yeah, so for a live performance, I usually consider my audience. Like if this is a climate action event, then I'll write a set list that's consisting of my songs about like living off the land and food sovereignty. Or if it's just like a regular concert, then I'll kind of play whatever songs I feel like. A lot of my songs are kind of sad, so I try not to bum people out too much. I try to balance like sadder stuff with some happier stuff. And for recording, I don't do too much planning because, again, that's still something that's new to me, like the whole music theory stuff. But I try to think of what harmonies I want to do. And really, most of it is just being patient with myself and taking care of my body and my throat and like doing vocal warm-ups and even like yoga to just prepare for that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I used to be in a band and one of the singers, she would have like warm honey before we would go perform.
Yeah.
And it like really helps to like loosen up the vocal cords.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about some of your in-person performances and favorite memories as a performing artist.
Yeah, so something that comes to mind is when I was playing at the Memorial Center Farmers Market, I believe it was in October, and it was really cold outside. Like I had to warm up my fingers in between each song, but it was still a really great experience. And probably the highlight of it was just that the local farmers were putting food and treats in my tip basket. So it felt like a really good experience of reciprocity where like I'm contributing music to make this a more peaceful and happy environment. And then they're giving back. And I even got like a musician's discount when I bought eggs. So that was pretty sweet.
No way. That's awesome. Were there any obstacles you have faced as a performing artist?
Yeah. So I think I deal with the same anxiety that most musicians do. And because I'm young and I still have a lot to learn, I often feel like I'm kind of an imposter, like even getting this amazing opportunity of the Airwave YGK residency, I thought like, am I even ready for this? Like, am I going to be able to do what they're expecting of me? But I just kind of combat that narrative with like, I want to share my gift with the world. And this isn't about me and like me getting praise for being a good musician. It's just about connecting people through music. And a really big challenge for me has been being loud and taking up space, because I kind of grew up always having to tiptoe and whisper, like figuratively and literally. So just finding spaces where I feel comfortable and safe to like sing loudly and, you know, put in the power to hit that high note. That's been a really big part of my journey. And I had a lot of stage fright like most people do, but now I'm not as nervous on stage and I can kind of get out of my head enough to really connect with people. So that's a really great thing to experience.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier with like chord progressions and stuff. Like we don't really know what the chord progressions mean or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just about getting the emotion out there. So it's kind of the same thing when you say you may be too young. I think that doesn't matter at all. It's a matter of your message and what you're trying to get out there.
Yeah, you know? I agree. Thank you.
I mean, I even see people like social media too has like exposed so many young artists into the industry. Like there's a guy, he's got to be at least 11 or 12 and he's like a producer. He makes beats and stuff.
Wow.
And he has recognition from like a lot of people in the industry. Like one person that comes to mind that I know follows him is Timbaland. Like Timbaland follows him and
wow.
I think he's like releasing sample packs and stuff online. Like it's crazy. And he's like 11. Like
<That's> amazing.
So yeah, again, it's all about the message of the music, you know. It yeah. doesn't matter who you are, where you come from.
Definitely. And everyone has something unique to share. And
exactly.
Yeah, like a message that only they can convey in a certain way. And there's mm-hmm. always going to be people who don't like your music or who don't resonate with it. But there's always going to be people that do.
Exactly. And the best part is, like, everybody interprets music differently. And, like, if you really think about it, like, music is just like an interpretation of stuff that happens in our lives. And we also gain inspiration from other musicians as well. Mm-hmm. But we all interpret that inspiration differently. And I think that's what makes creating music very unique. Like, everybody who creates music has a very unique twist on how they actually interpret artists and interpret situations in their life.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah. even when I'm painting, like, there's always that, you know, perfectionism that I'm trying to unlearn. And I tell myself, just the act of creating alone is beautiful. So it doesn't matter what I end up making and how it looks, but just the fact that I'm creating something that will outlive me.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah. It literally, the music lives on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't remember the exact quote, but there's a very famous music producer who died recently, Quincy Jones. Mm-hmm. And he said something along the lines of, like, I may be gone, but the music still lives on.
Yeah,
and
he was a wise man.
Yeah, and that's kind of like what music is, you know? It's just, it lives on and just keeps going.
Yeah.
Could we talk about the Kingston music scene? What excites you about it?
Yeah, so I'm really in love with the city, and I'm so grateful for all the opportunities there are for artists, from, like, poetry to music to visual arts. I hope to see that musical equipment and skill building opportunities become more accessible to people. And by accessible, I mean, like, affordable. And I think Joe's Mill is doing a really wonderful job at making that happen. So I hope that they're getting the support they need to do that. Because Joe's Mill has helped me a lot with, like, trying out new instruments and just learning from people there. I hope to see more community spaces that feel safe to share music and poetry and short stories. And I host an open mic every month at Next Church. And that's really my intention, is to get people together to share in a way that actually feels like sharing and not performing. Because mm-hmm. I feel like all this creative expression, it's such a beautiful, sacred thing, but it gets tainted by anxiety and judgment and fear. So I'm really hoping to detangle those and help people feel safe to share.
Yeah, 100%. I remember when I started performing, I felt like the same way. The eyes are on you. Mm-hmm. Like, all the eyes are on you, and it's very nerve-wracking. But you also have to remember that, again, what we were talking about before, everybody interprets your performance in a different way. And I mean, kind of the thing that sucks but might help is that no matter what you're doing, you're always going to have people who judge you. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. you know, so it's kind of just a matter of, like, not caring, because a lot of people just don't understand, you know. And
yeah,
a lot of people won't understand, or a lot of the times that judgment is a critique on their character and who they are as a person, you know.
Right. And so, I try to remind myself that being nervous is not a bad thing. I remember a few months ago when I was opening at the Broom Factory for Luella and Katie Tupper, I was talking to Olivia in the Red Room, and she said this word, nervited, and that's how I felt on the way here, actually. It's like, I'm nervous, but I'm trying to stay aware of how grateful I am for this opportunity. Like, I get to be here and people are hearing my voice, and that's a really wonderful thing. And I'm nervous because I care. So yeah. I just kind of let that nervousness kind of transform into just gratitude.
And, you know, I read a book in the past that's called Psycho-Cybernetics. And in the book, it talks about how it's pretty much your mindset on everything. That was one of the things in the book. They talked about nervousness, but they talked about it as, don't see it as being nervous, see it as being very excited and just also just caring a lot about it. So the fact that you already have that mindset where you're coming in and you're like, okay, I'm not nervous, but I'm excited, is awesome. Like, it's definitely the mindset to have, you know, in everything, even performing and just life, because you'll always be nervous for stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of how you deal with it.
Yeah. And it's kind of ironic because I'm really passionate about music therapy, and especially, like, the music that Janae Aiko makes with sound bowls and helping people feel calm and safe. So it's like, I'm trying to do that with my music, but I also have so much anxiety when it comes to music.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I just go back to my sound bowls and meditate and try to deal with it.
Fair enough. Talk about the sound bowls a little bit, because I've actually never really heard of it.
Oh yeah, they're pretty cool. So they're like little bowls made of copper or brass, and there's a mallet that you hit them with. And I'm no expert, but I've understood that there's ways to kind of manipulate the frequencies so it can go like faster or slower, but it's still the same pitch. And often sound bowls resonate with certain chakras in the body. So there's 7 main chakras along the spine. And for example, I have a throat chakra sound bowl. So that resonates with the throat chakra. So if I'm ever feeling like I'm scared to speak up, or I'm like shy about singing, then I'll use my throat chakra, and I'll often say mantras like, I speak my truth with confidence and love. So things like that. And I find it's really helped me.
Wow. Very powerful. Do you find that you ever use like, I speak my truth with peace and love? Like, do you ever find that you incorporate stuff like that into your music?
Yeah, definitely. Probably not as much as I like envision that I want to in the future. But again, like I'm just starting out. I have a long way to go. I have started playing live music every other Wednesday at Moro Yoga, which is a yoga studio downtown. And that's where I've really gotten to experiment with using the sound bowls and vocalizing in resonance with the sound bowls. And I'll even try to be mindful of like what yoga pose people are doing in the class and when I should use the sound bowl. Like if they're doing a yoga pose that's focused on opening their heart, then I'll use my heart chakra singing bowl. Yeah, it's just something I'm still exploring, but it's really powerful.
Yeah, that's really cool. In a class that I took, we were doing an experiment where we were sending certain frequencies onto a plate. And then there was a motor under that plate, which is what transmits the frequencies onto the plate. And the plate would vibrate. And we would put like grains of salt or pepper just on this plate. And basically what we found is that when you play certain frequencies, it actually creates different patterns on the thing. So like, for example, it would vibrate and all of the little salt things would move towards the edge of the plate and it would create like a circle. Or sometimes it'd be like a triangle or like complex, very complex shapes. So I find that it's interesting that you use sound bowls, because it is very true that different frequencies move the body in certain ways. And I realized it in that moment. I was like, wow, like this is actually really cool.
Yeah, I've never gotten to do that, but I have seen pictures of it and that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And it just makes you think like thoughts kind of mirror actions, or like, not to get too woo-woo, but I always think as above, so below. Like you can manifest something spiritually and then it will have like physical embodiments.
Yeah, 100%. Well, it also goes to show how much music can actually influence you too. Mm-hmm. Like, and your character and how it resonates with, it literally resonates
with
every one of us. That's why I think everybody is driven towards different genres and all that stuff.
Yeah, like every panic attack I've had, I always go to Janae Aiko's trigger protection mantra, and it's her like just making beautiful sounds with singing bowls, and it always helps me calm down. It's really powerful how
That's
music
awesome.
Can do that.
Could you talk a little bit about the importance of campus and community radio in supporting artists like yourself?
Yeah, so I'm still pretty new to CFRC, but from what I've heard, it seems like it's filling a really important niche in the community. And I think it's an incredible and essential thing to have a not-for-profit, community-driven radio station that supports local poets and musicians, because otherwise all this talent in Kingston would be drowned out by the mass media of the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. So I'm really grateful for CFRC because of that and other radio stations that are doing similar things.
Where can folks see you perform or find your recordings? Do you have any recent performances coming up?
Yeah. So tonight is the Walks of Life open mic. It's the second Friday of every month. And I host that open mic. And usually at the end, I'll share a song or a poem. And I play live music at Moro Yoga every other Wednesday during the Rest and Restore class at 7:30. I don't have any music released yet, except for a song on SoundCloud. It was a Daniel Caesar cover. But I am working on a song with Atiari that we're going to be releasing pretty soon. We're doing a show at The Buckle on January 18th. She's the main artist and I'm like a supporting artist. And we'll be playing the song together. So I'm pretty excited about that. And we hope to release the song before the show. I'm working on a website. It hasn't been launched yet, but when it is launched, it will be found under voiceofabby.com. So there I'll be kind of uploading my portfolio of music and art and poetry. But for the most part, you can stay up to date with me and what I'm doing through Instagram, and that's _voiceofabby. And I'm playing at the Union Gallery fundraiser on February 8th, and I'm pretty sure I'll be playing at the Women's Art Festival in August, and I'll be busking at the Memorial Center Farmers Market on February 16th from 11 to 1.
Okay, awesome. Wow, sounds like a pretty busy schedule.
I guess so.
A lot of stuff coming up. Tell us about your upcoming live-to-air performance at CFRC. What can listeners expect to hear or experience?
Yeah, so my intention is to do a combination of like the vibe of Jhené Aiko's Tiny Desk concerts and Lauryn Hill's MTV live performances. I'd say people can expect something kind of mellow, but also something that makes them feel and think. So I'd say just listen with an open heart and don't be afraid if you start crying.
Awesome, awesome. Anything else to add?
Just that I'm super grateful to be here and to have this opportunity. Thanks so much.
Oh, no worries. Well, thanks for coming. That's all the time we got for today. Now we're going to hear Abby Louise perform live at CFRC 101.9 FM.
EP to share with you. And the first song is called Music Heals. Shadow world and roll up, open up, listen up, get in touch. My shadow world needs to speak, or it'll burst at the seams. Let it speak and learn to love all of me. Feel the pain so one day it could be released. 'Cause if you let anger build up, it becomes resentment. I can't let it stay stuck. No more, I gotta let it go. For so long it's been sink or swim, but now I'm manifesting, I'll float. Wade in the water and go with the flow. Ooh.
maybe we could find what we've all been searching for. I believe we're all more alike than we may seem. And when I'm on the mic, I don't like to brag, 'cause what you have isn't as important as what you give. I'd rather live a simple life than have drama keeping me up at night and fatigue that I always have to fight. I'm asking you to let your guard down, and I will too. It's a safe space. I know you can see the fear in my face, but the music will make the pain go away, away. The hating on love, yeah, they love to hate, but I'm choosing not to live that way. I'm just praying for the world to change. I'm just trying to make it a better place, but sometimes I think it might be too late. I don't want to be a part of this, people blinded by empty bliss, but somehow it's alright when I feel your kiss. Material things can't fulfill the soul, only love and connection can make us feel whole. So I'm not sitting around waiting when there's changes I could be making. If you walk with me, we can make our own way. Choose love and peace even when they're choosing hate. What I'm trying to say is, it starts with us. Yeah, the change begins when you look within.
That was Choose Love, and the one before it was Shadow World, and what you're about to hear is called Freedom. Less of my energy would be thrown away. What if I wasn't afraid of everyone I love walking away? Is that our freedom would taste? I bet it feels so great. I think I'm ready to know myself. This weight is heavy, but I've got help. Even when I don't wanna ask for it, I know I don't have to walk this life alone. And what if didn't second guess every decision? Wouldn't I be less stressed? What if I didn't give a damn who I did or didn't impress? I think I'd feel my best. Finally feel free to authentically express what a weight it'd be off my chest. Ooh, 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 la da da, la da.
This next one is called Float, and it's a song I wrote with Atiari, who's a wonderful local musician, and we'll be releasing it this Wednesday, February 12th. The water. other songs, safe from all harm. And so I'll float in a pool of love in my mother's arms, safe from all harm. Stuck, I ride. I'll find my way just fine each time, 'cause I got me, myself, and I. And solitude is the greatest muse. Won't let myself be used again. I'm protecting my peace. You can hang around me if your love's gonna cost more than it spends. I need stability, something that won't break when it bends.
Was Dreams, and this next one is the last one on the EP, and it's called Home. Detachment has gifted me a fresh start. My devotion, divinely focused on music, poetry, community, and art. A
concentration, powered by pure admiration for the ability to feel through this beating heart. And I hear the pulse of creation as I listen. My dreams carry me the way the wind moves loose seeds that will soon land on fertile soil. They carry me through this river when I forget how to swim. When I forget, I can feel the pulse of creation within. The water moves me, moves through me, makes me happy to be alive, grateful to be doing what I love. Changing the world one song at a time. Grateful to walk this earth and know God through myself. Through this heart and mind who don't always align in harmony, but life is funny that way. Why do we wait for everything to be perfect when everything is as it's meant to be? Most beautiful when it's messy. A miracle in even just the sound of a heartbeat or the sight of a seed flying with the wind. We're all looking for something divine, and we will wait for eternity if we forget to look within and listen. Listen to the universal rhythm, the pulse of creation that pulls us back home. I'm Abby Louise, and that was my EP, Float, which I will be releasing on May 5th. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks again to Abby Louise for joining us here at CFRC 101.9 FM. Be sure to follow Abby on Instagram at @voiceofabby so you can stay updated on her next shows and new music. Thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you next time.